If you were to list some common Jewish jobs, like those jobs that every Jewish mom kind of thinks that their son or daughter will go into, I'm sure I would have a few mentions of, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a rav, chinuch, something to that end. I am sure that if I asked you, what was your dream for your beautiful from Jewish children? Very few of you would say that I entirely expected and hoped that my children would become farmers. Now, this may be a self-selecting group, considering we live in Chicago, where many people are not farmers. And I may get a different answer if I asked someone who lived in the Galil, where many people are farmers. But I would say that most Jewish moms do not believe that their children will or should become farmers. Jewish men are just really not cut out necessarily for that type of physical labor working the land. However, this was not necessarily true back in the time of the Torah. And if we may imagine, we would think of a time when Jewish men specifically did do that. They worked the land, they were able to catch food, they grew food. Their lives were directly connected to the land. And this is the reality that we see presented in the Torah. As we look into this week's Parsha, in Parshiot Behar B'chukosai, there's an extensive discussion about some of the mitzvot that apply, that connect us to the land. The first two that are discussed most prominently in Parshat Behar are the mitzvot of Shemitah and Yovel. We look at the first source on the fourth source sheet. The source sheet is in the chat. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor behar Sinai le'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai saying, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alayhem. When you come to the land, we are now starting to receive those mitzvot, not just that apply to us in general, but mitzvot that are going to apply to us specifically in Eretz Yisrael. It is true that we have already learned about some of these mitzvot, the category of mitzvot of mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz. Back in Parsha Kedoshim, we discussed Heya, that you must leave the corner of your field. Shechicha, that when you are gathering and harvesting, if anything falls down, you should leave it for the poor. Those two are mitzvot hatluyu ba'aretz. However, they are not discussed as explicitly as such. These mitzvot, as we discuss Shemitah and Yovel, it explicitly says, ki tavol el ha'aretz. Recognize that the next stage you are going to enter into, and again, remember, we are pre-Chet HaMeraglim, so that seemed like a much more imminent occurrence, is that soon you are going to enter into the land. And when you enter into the land of Israel, you are going to have specific mitzvot that are going to apply there. So, ki tavol ha'aretz asher ani notin lachem v'shavta ha'aretz l'shabbat l'Hashem. Hashem tells us, when you enter into the land of Israel, you should recognize that you must leave the land at certain points for a Shabbat LaHashem. That just like we take a day of rest, the land too will need a rest period. Shishanim tizrasa decha, vishishanim tizmor karmecha. For 6 years, you should work your field, you should prepare your vineyards, vasafta tfuata, you should harvest from them, you should benefit from your fields and your vineyards. Ubishana hashvi'it, but in the seventh year, Shabbat Shabbaton yihiyal aretz, there should be this Shabbat Shabbaton, there should be this rest period for the land. Shabbat lahashem sadacha lo tizra v'karmecha lo tizmor. This is considered to be a Shabbat, a rest for the land. You should not harvest your field, and you should not reap from your vineyards. Eitz v'cha k'tzercha lo tiktzor, v'anivei nizirecha lo tiftzor, shnat Shabbaton yihiyal aretz. You may not take any of the fruits, any of the grains, any of the grapes. You may not gather them in. This year they should be left for the fields. This is a Shabbat l'Hashem. They should be totally left. V'hayta Shabbat ha'aretz lachem la'achla l'cha u'la'abdecha v'la'amatcha v'l'sichrecha v'l'toshavcha hagirim imcha. You can eat it. You can take what you need, and the poor and those that work for you, your avadim, you can take from it what you need. V'lehemtecha v'l'chaya asher b'artecha tiyeh kol tfuata la'achol. and the animals of the land, anyone who needs, it is now free for them. This is not specifically your land. Anyone is free to come take. This is a land, this is a year that the land will lay to rest. Everyone has access to what they need, but you may not grow anew. You may not work the land. The next we see is as the para continues on.
Does that mean that you can eat from your fruit trees?
Yes, you can eat from them. You just can't harvest. You can't bring in the whole crop. You can take what you need to have during Shemitah. But the point is that you can't grow anew.
And anybody else could take from your tree then too. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Or anyone who didn't have, they would be able to have access. The point was that it was kind of a freeing of your field. That your field
not for profit.
Right. It was not for profit. That anyone can come take. There was access for anybody to what they needed. And then we get to the next piece of the cycle. V'safartelcha sheva shabbatot shanim sheva shanim sheva pa'amim. You should count 7 years seven times. So we should go through seven of these Shemitah cycles. V'ayulcha yamei sheva shabbatot hashanim tisha v'arba'im shana. And after 49 years, v'avarta shofar trua v'chodesh hashvi'i be'asor l'chodesh an yom kippur, on the 10th day of the 7th month in that 49th year, a shofar should spread throughout the land. Tavir shofar b'chol artacham. You should hear the sound of the shofar in your entire land. V'kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim shanat ukratem dror ba'aretz. In this 50th year, you should blow this shofar, and this will create a dror ba'aretz. It will allow for a release throughout the land. L'chol yoshva yoval hi tiyah lachem v'shavtem ish al achuzato. This will be a year of return, that everyone and everything will be released, loans will be forgiven, servants and slaves will be set free, land will go back to its original owners, everything will go through this period of reset in the 50th year. That this is a year that you proclaim, unlike the Shemitah, that the Shemitah comes, it automatically starts. The Yovel begins with the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur. It starts this year, and everything returns. Ish alachuzato. Every person, all money, all land, returns back to its original owners. The Torah goes on to explain to us that this should be kept in mind when you're selling land. The price should be adjusted accordingly based on how close you are to the Yovel year, recognizing that no sale is final, that everything goes back during the year of Yovel. That we discuss when we discuss Eved Ivri, that Eved Ivri is able to extend his stay with his master as long as he wishes until Shnat HaYovel. Until the Yovel year, he is able to stay with his master. Once that Yovel year comes, everything must return. And it continues in Vayikra Chaf Hei, Vasita Mechukotai Vet Mishpatai Tishmuru Vasita Motam Vyashafta Mala Aretz Lebetach. If you follow all my rules, you will live in the land peacefully. Venatata Aretz Periava Chaltam Lasova Vyashaftam Lebetach Aleha. If you follow all of these rules that I have assigned to you that will apply specifically in the land, then you will live in the land peacefully. You will have the crops that you need. The land will be fruitful. There will be military peace. You will be successful in the land if you follow all of my rules. And then it continues. V'ha'aretz lo timkar l'tzmitut, ki li ha'aretz. Hashem reminds us and says, do not forget who the true owner of the land is. I am the true owner of the land. That is why when I command that everything must return to its owner, you must remember that. And remember, ki li ha'aretz, Hashem says, this is my land. I have given it to you, but remember that you are not the ultimate owner of the land. And therefore, your actions are connected to your status in the land. You are my dwellers. You are living in my land, but you are not the true owners. And throughout the entire land, you must allow for everything to return to its true owner. So in the year of Yovel, if you're sitting there hesitating and saying, do I really want to give back this piece of land that I bought it 40 years ago and I've been putting in work since then and I've really made it my own. Do I really want it to go back to its original owner? And Hashem says, just remember that the true original owner is me. You too are a dweller in the land. Do not fool yourself into thinking that it is completely yours, and recognize therefore that you must follow the rules that I have laid out for you upon arriving in the land. And you should recognize that your status and your peace and your ability to dwell in the land successfully is contingent on the fact that you follow the rules that I laid out for you. So we are already seeing that this idea of mitzvot hatzluyot ha'aretz, mitzvot that specifically apply when we enter into the land, are not by chance. They don't just happen to apply when we enter into the new stage. And this is going to help us develop towards our question, that it seems to be that you could look at the mitzvot hatzluyot ba'aretz and say, majority of the mitzvot hatzluyot ba'aretz, unless you are going according to the Ramban, that the Ramban says that everything that we are doing outside of Eretz Yisrael is just for practice, mitzvot don't truly apply and don't truly matter until we live in Eretz Yisrael. He uses a little bit more harsh language than that, to express that everything we're doing outside is kind of nice, but it's really just practice for what we're doing in Eretz Yisrael. If you're not going according to the Ramban and you look in an overarching way at the mitzvot hatzluyot ba'aretz, you can see how majority of them apply to the land. And one can say, the only time we had our own land to farm and to work was once we entered into the land. But what I want to look at is how even if we see when Hashem hints to the fact, ki li ha'aretz, that Hashem has a direct connection to the land, and that how we behave in our relationship to Hashem correlates in how we are able to live in the land, we begin to recognize that there is a much deeper connection between Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel, land in general, and specifically the land of Eretz Yisrael. So we are going to continue to develop this idea and try to understand really what is our question. What are we trying to understand here? What is the real connection between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael? So we're going to continue building that up, but we see the first hints to that when Hashem explains how our positive actions will lead to us being able to dwell successfully in the land. In Vayikra Chaf Hey, we continue. It's all this one jam-packed parak. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzitzi Etchem Me'aretz Mitzrayim Latit Lachem Et Eretz Kana'an. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Latit Lachem Et Eretz Kana'an. This is now not only saying that the land will respond physically to how we are acting spiritually, but this is Hashem saying and alluding to, hinting to, that one of the primary reasons for taking us out of the land of Egypt was to be able to give us the land of Israel. And then we finally move on to Vayikra Perek Chaf Vav, and it continues and describes to us what will our lives be like if we serve Hashem properly. This is in Parashat Bechukosai, and Hashem lays out, if you follow my rules, this is how your life will look. And if you do not follow my rules, this is how your life will look. And we see that many of these suggestions are directly connected to the land. In Bechukosai Tilichu, if you walk in my ways, that mitzvotai tishmoru v'asitam otam, and you do all of my mitzvot. V'natati gishmecham b'itam, and I will give you your rain in its time. V'natna ha'aretz yivula, the land will give forth its crop. V'eitza sadei yitem perio, and the trees will blossom their fruit. V'esig lachem daish et batzir ubatzir yasig et zera, v'achaltam lachmecham lasova, all of your planting and your sowing will all be successful, and the land will give its bread, and you will be satisfied from it. V'yashavtam lavetach ba'aretz, you will rest peacefully in the land. And interestingly, if anyone remembers way back to our Siyam on Tanakh B'Shana last year, we discussed the criteria for being able to build the Beis HaMikdash in Divrei HaYamim. And one of the explanations as to why David was not able to build the Mikdash was because David was under the impression that they had not yet reached this criteria that is laid out for us, that we must be resting, we must be yoshvim lavatach ba'aretz, that we must be at a state of peace in the land. David did not believe we were up to that yet, so therefore he did not begin to build the mikdash. So that is one of the opinions. We discussed this idea of yoshevet lavatach ba'aretz. ונתתי שלום בארץ ושכבתם ואין מחריד והשפעתי חיה רעה מן הארץ. There will be peace in the land. There will be no wild animals. וחרב לא תעבור בארצכם. There will be no war in your land. ורדפתם את אויביכם ונפלו לפניכם לחרב. I will chase out your enemies. They will fall before you. You will be militarily successful. V'radfu michem chamisha u'mea me'a michem. Revava yirdfu v'naflu aybichem l'fneichem l'charev. Your enemies will be no more. They will disappear. U'vaniti aleichem v'hifrisi etchem v'herbesi etchem v'akimoti et briti etchem. He says, I will multiply you and you will be fruitful and you will be many and you will be successful in the land. So we see that if we follow Hashem's rules, if we are in a good standing in our Avodas Hashem, how does that manifest itself? It manifests itself physically in the land of Israel. That the land will be prosperous, that the land will be fertile, that there will be peace in the land, that we will be successful in our physical inhabitants in Eretz Yisrael. The land seems to be rewarded through us, and we are rewarded through the land. We are intricately and closely connected to the land, and specifically the land of Israel. And then we see it on the negative side. And what happens if we don't follow the rules of God? V'ha'aretz ha'aziv mehem v'tiritz et shabtoteha v'shmama mehem v'him yirtsu et inam ya'an u'b'ya'an v'mishbatai ma'asu v'abachukotai ga'ala nafsham. If you do not follow the rules of Hashem, the land will expel you. And previous to this, these psukim, it lists that the land will be filled with wild animals, that the ground will not be successful, the crops will not grow. It goes through the reverse of everything that will happen if we do follow Hashem. If we do the opposite, the reverse will happen. The land will just not be working positively for us. We will not have a positive relationship with the land. And lastly, as we started here, b'ha'aretz ha'aziv mehem, the land will not be able to tolerate you. It will vomit you out. The land will not be able to contain you if you are not in a positive standing with Hashem. V'af gam zope yotem ba'aretz oyveihem, lo ma'asim v'lo ga'altim l'chalotam, l'hafer briti itam, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. But Hashem says, he does add a caveat, even though you will now be dispersed among your enemies' land, you will no longer be able to dwell in your own personal special land, you will not be destroyed there, because I, Hashem, will enter with you into Galus. I will be with you even when you are in the other nation's lands. So we definitely see that there is this direct correlation. We do well in our relationship with Hashem, the land prospers. We do not do well in our relationship with Hashem, we are not following the words of God, our relationship with the land suffers, and ultimately we will be expelled from the land because the land does not seem to be able to tolerate, and this idea is expressed again in Sefer Devarim, that the land cannot tolerate having us within it if we are not following in the ways of Hashem. That we are already seeing that there is a much deeper spiritual connection between us and the land than it simply being that this was the first place that we had land to ourselves. If the mitzvot hatzluyot ba'aretz only applied because we now had a place in which we could farm and we could grow, there wouldn't be such a spiritual connection between our actions and the way that the land functions. So what I want to investigate is, what is the source of this relationship? Why is there such a...
Our actions are the mitzvot between us and God, the Hamakom, and there's us in our fellow man. And sometimes we seem to do, at least in Jewish history, there were times when we seemed to be doing better on one kind of thing or another. And were we supposed to be doing good on all of them? And sometimes there'd be a famine showing that we weren't doing anything really good, like in the time of David, when there's a famine at the end of Shmuel Bet for about 3 years, David figures out, this isn't just the weather. You know, this is we must have done something wrong. 3 years is not a long period of time. On the other hand, it was hundreds of years of bad behavior before we get totally kicked out of, at least out of Yehuda. So it's very hard to know how this thing works.
Right. I mean, I don't think we can view it as an ATM, that we put in one bad action and our crops that day won't grow. I think it's meant to be seen as a broader idea that, like David said, like, it's not just the weather. If we recognize that there's an extended period of unsuccessful crops, or there is an extended famine, or when there's something like we are sent out to Gullus, we're meant to analyze our actions and not say, oh, the enemies just became stronger and therefore we are exiled from the land. Or there was a strange change in the weather and therefore we are expelled from the land. We are meant to see that whether it is our mitzvah bin adam l'makom or bin adam l'chaveiro, and like you said, at different points in history, it has been a different combination or a different balance of both of those that have led to our unsuccessful dwelling in the land. But I think it is from either of them. And either way, what it is meant to direct us to is that when something is happening in the land, we are not meant to look at some sort of natural cause. Rather, we are meant to look at ourselves and analyze how our actions are being expressed through how the land is functioning. So either way, bin adam l'makom, bin adam l'chaveiro, and like you said, at different points in history, we can see that it is either one or both of those. So why is this? Why are we so connected to the land? Why specifically are we connected to the land of Israel? I believe to understand this, we have to look way back, way, way back at the point at which the land and human beings were created. Way back in Bereishis Perek Bet, we are created at first in Bereishis Perek Aleph, but the more clear expression, the creation of man is expressed both in Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, and the one that helps us most in our investigation is in Perek Bet. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et ha'adam afar min ha'adama. Hashem crafted man afar min ha'adama. Man was created out of dust from the land. Vayipach ba'apav nishma chayim. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. Man was created from the dust of the earth. Hashem gathers up min ha'adama, from the land, and creates Adam, man, which is a play on the word adama, that because we came from man, so too, as we'll see with when Isha, woman, is named Isha, it says because she was taken from man, so therefore Ish is man, Isha is now woman. So too, we were taken from the land. The land is adama, and we are called Adam. Hashem then blew into the dust, Nishma Chayim, this soul, Vayihi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya. And once there was this combination of the Neshama and the Guf created out of that, the dust of the ground, we then arrive at a human being. This is immediately after land itself was created. So land is created, and then we take from the land and we fashion a human being. What is the connection between the two? That we see that it was relevant that Adam was created from Adama, from the land, because it is expressed in his name. If it was unimportant, God would have named man something else. So there are two approaches, that of Rav Hirsch and that of the Maharal. And I apologize that you do not have the texts of Rav Hirsch and the Maharal on your page, but we will discuss them outside. Rav Hirsch says, wouldn't this make it seem like we are entirely physical beings? That if we say there are two components of man, there is the component of Adama that Hashem took from the land, and there is the element of Neshama, of our soul. But then Hashem names us Adam, we would be led to believe that that is the dominant feature. So Rav Hirsch explains, what is it that sets man apart from the animal? The living individuality of the animal depends on earthly matter. Like its body, so its soul too was taken from the earth. Rav Hirsch is saying that an animal is entirely physical. Everything about an animal was created from the earth, not so man. In the creation of man, only the inert material was taken from the earth. We were built up as a physical body from the earth. Only when God breathed into him the breath of life did he become a living individual. But we see clearly that he is not a human being until Hashem blows into him this Nishma Chaim. Herein lies the ability and immortality of man. Thus, man is composed of two elements that are completely different from each other. One of these was taken from the earth, but man does not belong to the earth. Rather, the earth, as its name Adama implies, has been given to man to rule. So too, man's body, which is dust of the ground, is subject to man's control. So therefore, Rav Hirsch is saying, we are called Adam to imply that we now have ownership over the Adama, that it is now in our control. We control our own bodies because we come from the land, and the land as a whole is something that we have control over. But the Maharal describes it differently. He understands and he says, the name indicates that which is exclusive and special to a creature, that which expresses what makes man unique. So the Maharal says, why name Adam, Adam? And that is why man is called Adam, on account of his being created dust of the Adama. Now we must ask, are not other creatures as well made from the Adama? But in truth, man is more connected to the Adama, as the ground is special in that it signifies the potential which can be brought out and activated through plants, trees, and everything else which can potentially be brought forth from the land. Similarly, man is all potential, which achieves completion when activated, and therefore the name which is appropriate for man is that which is shared by the Adama, as it is reminiscent of the power of activating the potential in man and the ground. So the Maharal emphasizes a different point from Rav Hirsch. Both are saying that we are named Adam because of our direct connection to the land. But both of them describe this connection differently. Rav Hirsch says, why are we named Adam, which is alluding to our physicality? Because he is saying it is recognizing that we are the ones in control of that physicality. Because it is where we came from, we do not remain subservient like animals to that Adama. Rather, we are named Adam, which connects us to the land, but we also know that unlike animals, we have this Nishmas Chayim, we have this higher spiritual peace, which brought alive this Adama that we were created from, and now we are the ones that rule over the Adama, and not vice versa. So it's reminding us of our connection, but it is also explaining to us the new relationship that was created once we were the Adam and no longer simply the Adama. The Maharal says, on the other hand, that it is different. That what is land? Land is untapped potential. That land in and of itself is sitting there waiting for the blossoming of trees and flowers and plants to come forth from it. Within land, there is potential for all of this growth. If we think about when you go to plant something, I know that Mother's Day, Mirtz Hashem, coming up this Sunday is usually a big day for planting. I don't know about with the Chicago weather, but definitely in New Jersey, people start planting on Mother's Day. And a lot of your success in planting has to do with the type of soil you use. Because if you take a seed and you put it into dried out, non-enriched soil that's lacking any nutrients, nothing will grow. But within good soil is the potential for anything and everything to come forth. The Maharal says, so too is man. That God says, yes, I created you from the Adama and I named you Adam, not to connect you simply to your physicality, but to remind you of this potential, that the greatest ability of the Adama is to give forth and allow for this potential. And so too, the greatest ability of a human being is to actualize their potential. And that should be your mission. Just like Adama that is untapped is such a shame that we leave it without tapping into its fullest potential, so too a human being. It would be a shame to leave a human being without tapping into their full potential. Therefore, by naming us Adam, we are alluding to us one of our central missions in life. So we see how from the very beginning of time, we are created from land, and that directly connects us to land in general. Let's see if this continues. When we move on to, unfortunately, we've moved past the creation of Adam, and now we are at the punishment of Adam. Ula Adam amar, ki shamata lekol ishtecha v'tuchal min ha'etz asher tiviticha lemor. Hashem says, now this is when Hashem is giving over the punishments to Adam and Chava, and he says to Adam, because you listened to your wife and you didn't refrain from eating from the tree like I had told you to, lo tuchal mimena arura ha'adama ba'avurecha. The land will be cursed because of you. So we started off on such a positive note in our connection to the land. We saw where the direct connection comes from. But now all the way, just a parak later, we are already seeing how not only are we directly connected from our conception from the land, but also how we saw later in our parsha on the Chukosai that our actions become directly connected to the land. That when Adam sins by eating from the tree, the land is punished. Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha. The land is cursed because of you. Be'itzvon tochalena kol yemei chayecha. You will have to work hard. You have to toil so that you should eat for all the days of your lives. This continues on with the punishment of Cain. We again see how the actions of man become connected all the way back from the beginning of creation to the land. Hashem says, the blood of your brother is calling out to me from the ground. You are cursed from the land. The land swallowed up your brother's blood from before you. The punishment to Cain is that he should work the land unsuccessfully. That we saw in our parsha, Parshas B'Chukosai, that when we are in a good standing with Hashem, that when we work the land, it will be fruitful and it will be prosperous. However, the blessing to Cain that we again see later on in the Chukosai, but starts all the way from back then, is that Cain will have to exert himself. He will have to work hard. He will try to work the land, and it will not yield the same rewards. It will not give forth fruit and harvest in the same way. So back from that very beginning, we see this direct connection between Adam and Adama in our creation and already in our actions. Again, by the Mabul, and this is going to be our last mention of the connection between Adam and Adama until we return to it in Parashas Bechukosai. We're going to see what transition it makes. In Bereishis Perek Vav, this is right before the Mabul. Vayomer Hashem emcha et Adam asher barati. I'm going to wipe out the human beings that I created. Me'al pnei ha'adama. They will completely disappear from the face of the earth. I regret that I created them. So therefore, I am going to cleanse the land. I'm going to get rid of this Adam that I created from the Adama, because I regret that I created the Adam. I will leave the Adama. It will be cleansed, but the people will disappear. As I just mentioned a moment ago, this is our last mention of that close connection between Adam and Adama, of man and the land in the form of Adama, until we return to it in our parsha this week in Bechukosai. What is the transition it makes in between in the rest of Sefer Bereishis, in Shemos, and in most of Vayikra? And we'll see it will continue in Bamidbar until in Sefer Devarim, again, we have mentions of Adama. In between that, we transition to Adam and Aretz. We transition from Adama, just simply from ground or from dirt. We transition to Aretz, to the land. And we especially see that throughout the Avot, that the Avot begin this connection not simply to land itself, but to the land of Eretz Yisrael. We know when we are introduced to Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'artecha, leave from your land, El Ha'aretz, to the land, Asher Ar'eka, to the land at which I will show you. And many, many times, over and over again, with Avraham, with Yitzchak, with Yaakov, Ki Kol Ha'aretz Asher Ataru Alecha Nena, look out at this land, the land that which I will give you. And that is how we see the representation between man and the land. It shifts from just general land, which we saw in creation through Parshas Noach, and we will return to later on when we get to our parsha. But in between that, we shift to Adam and Aretz, to Adam and the land. It's no longer about land in general. It is about the land. We automatically make that shift to Eretz Yisrael, and the focus is on Eretz Yisrael in general. And that's why it's so interesting when we arrive at our parsha. But it is because it is kind of going to be this interesting island in which we discuss the connection between Adama and Aretz together. That it's about mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz that only apply when we are in Eretz Yisrael, but they are also mitzvot that directly apply to the Adama, that it's about working the land. So that is what is very interesting about when we come to our parsha, is about this combination of Adama taking that inherent connection and seemingly something more of this ha'aretz, of the land, that we make that transition from general to specific, And it comes together in our parsha in a way that we are working the land, but it is specifically our land. So that is what I want to explore right now, is what is so important about this? What is, and like coming back to our original question, why are we so intricately connected? Not only like we explored because we are created from land, because that would connect us to the world as a whole. That would mean that we were an agriculturally connected people, that we are connected and rooted in the land. But our true connection is, why are we so closely connected to Eretz Yisrael? Why specify from the world in general to Eretz Yisrael in specific? And to understand this, I want to look at a piece by Rav Soloveitchik, in which he discusses, which seems like a very minute detail, but we will see is really anything but, is where was the dust that we were created from taken from? So Rav Soloveitchik gives two approaches. Where did Hashem take this dust through which he created man from? The first approach of Rav Soloveitchik, man was created of cosmic dust. God gathered the dust of which man was fashioned from all parts of the earth. Indeed, from all the uncharted lanes of creation. Man belongs everywhere. He is no stranger to any part of the universe. Man is cosmic through his intellectual involvement. His intellectual curiosity is of cosmic universal dimensions. He wants to know not only about the things that are close to him, as for example, the flowering bush in his backyard, but also things far removed from him, things and events that are millions of light years away. So the first approach of Rav Soloveitchik is, where did Hashem create man from? Hashem gathered in dust from all over the earth. It was this cosmic dust from every place in the universe. Hashem created as if this handful compiled from across everywhere. And therefore, when man was created from this dust, it created one type of man, man that is universal, man that is curious out of things that are outside of what is directly in front of him. Man that is cosmic, that belongs everywhere, that can go everywhere. That is one approach, that we were created from everywhere and therefore we are meant to be everywhere. However, the second approach in which you can understand the pasuk of Afar Min Ha'adama is, let us examine the other interpretation of this verse in Genesis. Man was created from the dust of a single spot. You could also take the approach that is probably easier to imagine, that God picked up dust from one place on the earth, and that was the dust from which he decided to create man. Man is committed to one locus. The creator assigned him a single spot he calls home. Man is not cosmic. Here he is here-minded. He is a rooted being, not cosmopolitan, but provincial, a villager who belongs to the soil that fed him as a child and to the little world in which he was born. The Rav brings a second approach, which I think can come as a beautiful explanation to this understanding that we have of man's connection to the Adama and man's connection to the Aretz of Eretz Yisrael. The Rav's second approach is that the dust that man was created from was taken from one spot, and Chazal explained that where was the spot through which this land, this dust was taken? It was from under the Mizbeach that would in the future be on Har HaMoriah. On the Har HaBayit, Hashem took dust from immediately under where the Mizbeach, the altar, would be, and he used that dust to create man. And like Rav Soloveitchik says, this does change the inherent nature of man, that it makes us more tied down to one place. But I would rather look at it not as tied down to one place in a limiting sense, but rather that we are based in one place. That if anyone has felt that feeling of getting off the plane in Eretz Yisrael, and you feel that deep connection, that you feel like you arrived home, even if it's your first time in Eretz Yisrael, you feel that connection to one locus. That there is some sort of unexplainable connection to the land of Israel, that Rav Soloveitchik would connect all the way back to Adam HaRishon. That when Hashem took from that land, from that dust, under Har HaMoriah, which would be the most holy central place in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem was inherently connecting us to that place. Hashem was saying to us, you are connected. Yes, Hashem definitely leaves the psukim in Sefer Bereishis so open-ended so that we can have these multitudes of explanations. So I believe that if we look at it from the two perspectives of Rav Soloveitchik, we can most clearly understand what our connection is to Eretz Yisrael.
I've been studying Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer with Rabbi Warch, and he said that the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer believes that man was created from dust all over the world, not cosmic dust, and not just from the, you know, underneath Har HaBayit, so that the land would bury people all over. Otherwise, if people died, the land would say, you're not from me, so I don't have to take you in. So he's saying that it's this really sort of weird mixture all over so that the land will take you in when you die. Now, is it possible that, like so many other things, God is plan being it? If Adam and...
Wait, Shelly, you cut out. Oh, okay. We lost you, Shelly.
Hello?
Wait, Shelly, we didn't hear the end of your question.
Okay, can you hear me now? My internet connection does this to me all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, now we hear you.
Okay, so is it possible that the original thing that if the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer's thing of it being from all over the world is right, then the original thing was that God's covenant was with Adam and Chava, and whether there was supposed to be a lot more, but keep on changing this stuff. So he had to change it later on too. We would also be from the dust under the Beit HaMikdash, but we wouldn't, to have a covenant, he didn't want a covenant with just one group of humanity. He wanted the same thing with everybody, but it just didn't work out that way.
It's definitely possible. I think that's what we're going to tie together right now. So there are two ways equally to understand this pasuk, that Hashem created us from the land of the earth. And I think that the first discusses our connection with the Adama. That, like Shelley said, if the dust was taken from all over the earth, or as the Rav says, that it was a cosmic dust, that it was truly from everywhere, not only limited within this world, but a cosmic dust. That is our connection to the land in general. That we seem to have all these mitzvot that connect us to working the land, to toiling in the land. And that is one connection. And that is the connection between man and the Adama. But then as our relationship with Hashem develops, we move on to this level of the second approach, that there was also this idea that the dust that was used to create us was taken from under the Har HaBayit, that it was taken to connect us not only to land in general, but we are specifically connected to one locus, and that locus is found in the land of Israel. And that's why these mitzvot that connect us to toiling in the land are specifically applicable in the land of Israel. And that's why the land of Israel expresses our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it is about not only our connection to land, but our connection to Eretz Yisrael specifically. So what does this mean? The Rav goes on and explains why from underneath the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is the example of the place in which physicality is elevated. That the question that Rav Hirsch asked originally was, why would we call Adam, Adam, alluding to simply the physical part of the human being? And by telling us that even the physical portion of the human being was created from dust that was underneath the Har HaBayit, shows us that even the physical is elevated. So this takes us to our final point. What is the true connection between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael? Not only that we were promised the land of Israel, not only that potentially we were created from dust that was found in Eretz Yisrael, but because we share a mission. The land of Israel is a land that is meant to elevate physicality, that is meant to take everything physical and give it a spiritual nature as well. That is what the altar and what the Beis HaMikdash exemplified, a physical place that was a dwelling place for the spiritual. And Hashem is saying to us, by creating us from the dust under Har HaBayit, is saying to us that you too, man, even your physical part, is going to be elevated with spirituality. So what is our connection to the land? Why are our actions manifested physically in the land? To show us that when it comes to Am Yisrael, and when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, there is no way to separate out the physicality from the spirituality. We have this shared mission and this shared goal of elevating that physicality, so that when we toil in the land in Israel in a physical way, it will have spiritual ramifications. It will connect us more closely to God and more closely to the land. We will be physically and spiritually prosperous. And when we don't follow God in a spiritual plane, our physicality will suffer. Our connection to the land of Israel is our shared mission of elevating physicality, showing us how physicality and spirituality are completely intertwined. And this is what leads to that special, special connection between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So, Be'ez Hashem, we should be able to embrace this connection to the land of Israel, recognize how closely connected we are, not only in our thoughts and our minds, but how physically and inherently we are connected to the land, embrace this mission, and be able to fulfill this mission of elevating our physicality in the place in which we can do this best, in Eretz Yisrael. Thank you so much for joining.